Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. It is
Pump Day!
Look at that, the Geico Camel right on time. And also right on time, as per usual, on Crossover Wednesday, live from Lake Wissota, Wisconsin, up north, the host of Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8 across Civic Media. It is our very own Pat Kreitlow. Pat, thanks for being here.
I'll be with you in a minute. I just got to finish this Bible reading from my Trump Bible over here. I can come back to it later.
Hello there. Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Good. There's a lot of stuff that's redacted in this Trump Bible.
Really?
Entire commandments are blacked out on here. Can't imagine why.
Going to get to that in a second. Per usual, Pat Kreitlow always joins us, or when he can, which is almost always. We always appreciate that on Crossover Wednesday. Trygve Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, who normally joins us at this time as well, on vacation with the family over spring break. But by golly, here's the kind of guy Trygve is. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour at 12:30. So Pat's been so kind as to join us in the first half hour. We appreciate that. But yes, Pat, on your show this morning, you and I were talking about these Trump Bibles. And if, for those of you who have not heard, the Trumpster has teamed up with former country music legend, I guess, maybe, Lee Greenwood, who had the iconic song, God Bless the USA. Now, look, I've always thought it was a great song. I love the song. Nothing wrong with the song. But now Lee Greenwood has gone full-blown mega here and joined up with Trump, and they are selling Bibles. God bless the
USA. Not just Bibles. God bless the USA Bibles that include the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and all those other things.
Well, last time I checked, those documents were not written to the time of Christ, although we're sounding more and more the Bible under Trump is becoming the Book of Mormon.
Well, it really takes that Christian nationalism and just embraces it, just leans right in and says, yep, we would love this country to go from democracy to theocracy as quick as can be.
Yes.
You know, putting your name on the Bible and selling it seems perhaps a bit blasphemous, no?
Well, he probably thinks if that Gideon fellow, you know, could get away with it, why can't he, right?
And by the way, this just... make sure people understand, this is not a bit. This is not a joke. This is real. Trump and Lee Greenwood are hawking, selling God Bless the USA Bibles with the addenda. That
seriously.
Pat, yes. This is serious.
Seriously. I seriously thought it was an onion skit, yeah, right? Or something. And that, you know, I had to do a double take. And I'm like, okay, that's not AI. That's actually the former president of the United States going full-blown, you know, church and state bound together for just $60 plus shipping.
There you go.
How much did you say it costs?
60 bucks. 60.
Okay. I thought it took me a second to process that because that's ludicrous.
Yes. Well, again, when you compare it to a $400 pair of golden sneakers,
the deal,
you know, the Trump sneakers, but I think they throw in a box of Trump steaks, which have been around for many years since that company, you know, went bankrupt.
But, I mean, he's literally now selling Christian nationalism. I mean, if there's any doubt, I mean, this is it, right? So it's a King James Bible for, yes, $60, as Pat said, also contains the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Pledge of Allegiance. In the video sales pitch, Trump says, quote, "Religion and Christianity are the biggest things missing from this country. We must make America pray again."
When unquote. He says that, "We must make America pray again," I just thought, oh my gosh, the things a grifter will do when you've got nothing, you are scraping by to post a bond to, you know, keep your one of your many criminal cases alive. Yeah, you'll start scrounging the couch for spare change and telling people to buy your Bibles.
Liz Cheney, of course, who is now not only another Trumper and has said she, like Paul Ryan's, not coming to the Republican convention in Milwaukee. Cheney has gone a step further from not only saying she won't vote for Trump, but now on The View here a couple weeks ago said she'll be voting for Joe Biden. And Liz Cheney trolled Trump's desperation for votes and money, suggesting that instead of selling Bibles, Trump read one. Here is the tweet from Liz Cheney in response. Quote, "Happy Holy Week, Donald. Instead of selling Bibles, you should probably buy one and read it, including Exodus 20:14. To quote the Bible, Exodus 20:14, thou shalt not commit adultery."
See, I told you that one was redacted here. It's not there for some reason. Yeah,
wow. But I mean, I love a saucy Liz Cheney. I mean, she can't stand the guy. She's going after him. I love it.
All I'm saying, I said it this morning as well, is look, if you're still kind of a mainstream Republican, but you're not denouncing this forcefully, ask yourself how you'd react if you saw Hillary Clinton doing this,
yes.
If you saw Joe Biden doing this, if you saw Barack Hussein Obama, mm-hmm. you know, selling Bibles like this, as Trump always uses his middle name. I mean, can you imagine your TV would blow up even if you weren't watching Fox News. It would blow up because of the outrage that would be expressed on there.
Yes.
And that's all we ask people is put the shoe on the other foot and say, what would you do here? What would you do? Because you know what we'd do if we saw a Democrat doing that? We'd be just as merciless. Yeah. I'd be rolling my eyes like crazy and saying, what are you doing?
Or you know, think of someone of a different faith, right? I mean, think yes. of Bernie Sanders saying, you know, that it's going to be something.
Ilhan Omar,
right? Yes, Ilhan Omar is going to bring out the Quran. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people go apoplectic, and so would I. I mean,
when they talk about it, just gets us into we want our tax dollars to go to private religious schools, and to of course. But only if they're Christian schools, if,
right.
you know, God forbid it's a madrasa or something else like that. But because when you throw it there, suddenly they're backtracking. But as long as they can get away with, you know, a wink and a nod at moving, you know, money and getting votes by playing the religion card, they're going to do it.
Yeah, totally agree. Pat, kind of a potpourri here in the first half hour, or as we say back in Richland Center, a potpourri. But we have a potpourri of information here. We talked a little bit about yesterday with Matt Flynn, who was on the program yesterday. I know Jay Matt Nair has talked about it on Matt Nair on Air. I know you mentioned it as well. These referenda that are coming up next week, a week from yesterday, as a matter of fact, on Tuesday, a lot of people have questions about it. Matt Flynn yesterday, in his opinion, walked through why people should vote no on both of these statewide referendums. Your thoughts, Pat Kreitlow?
Oh, they are completely unnecessary. And again, show what happens when you can't convince people that your ideas are good, then you look for some kind of a shortcut if you're in, you know, today's conservative ranks. Mm. And they have these ideas as bills, of course, to have some kind of a ban on outside money and a ban on outside assistance. They knew that, you know, Governor Evers would veto it. So now they're trying this end run, you know, to get to the voters and try to convince them that it's a good thing. And it you know, people are working hard this week to let people know that, look, the solution for local governments not having to go get private funds and grants is to adequately fund them in the first place. That's the first thing the legislature should have done is say, oh, are they not getting enough to administer elections? Let's take care of that because we want our elections to be free and fair, safe, secure, and, you know, properly funded. But they're not doing that. They're just saying, we don't want any outside money coming in. And if you don't have enough money because, you know, we're not giving you any more of it, well, that's just too bad for you. And that's not the way somebody should govern unless you're part of a party that likes to obstruct free and fair elections.
If you want to more information, perhaps you have information on Up North News, Pat, on your website there, your newsletter on this?
if we don't, I'll get it up there, you know, post haste.
Just like
know.
To give you a,
you say it, I play it. You know,
just like to give you a plug, but I was also going to plug our friend Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area. He has a great article there as well. It's headlined "Good in Theory, Bad in Practice, Worse in Process: Why You Should Vote No on the Two Statewide Referendum Questions to Amend the Constitution, Wisconsin Constitution." You can find that at the Recombobulation Area. News. Great article there.
He's never given me any reason not to say the following. Just read everything he puts out.
Yeah.
Because it's so spot on. So yes, absolutely. Whatever Dan has written about the constitutional amendment proposals, I think is going to be, like I said, 100% right.
Another issue coming up on Tuesday, not so much an issue, but what's going on in terms of the election, Pat. And you're a former Democratic state legislator, state senator here in the state of Wisconsin. Would love your thoughts on this. And there was an article yesterday in the Cap Times by Aaron McGroarty, and it's called "Uninstructed Primary Movement in Wisconsin Boasts New Endorsements." And there was a group of predominantly state legislators, some local legislators who are on the Democratic side of the spectrum, I would say progressive side of the spectrum, who are encouraging people to vote uninstructed, basically present in the Democratic primary, not to support Joe Biden. Their rationale is over what's happening in Palestine and Gaza and Israel. And I've said, I certainly think the atrocities in Gaza are terrible. I also recognize it's very complex. And I just don't think that it does anybody any good to vote uninstructed. In fact, I think Republicans will use that against Joe Biden. But what are your thoughts as a Democrat?
No, that's exactly what they'll do. And that's why, for that exact reason, a vote for uninstructed is a vote to boost Donald Trump's candidacy. Period. Yeah. End of sentence. Has nothing to do with anything else going on in the world, no matter how serious it is. And it is serious. But in the context of how that vote will be interpreted by the media and by moderate swing voters looking at that, they'll see that as, you know, a reason to consider Trump, who would be, you know, an unmitigated disaster back in office with the Mideast in turmoil like it is. You got to think of this as a binary choice, because that's what it is. This is no time for Ralph Nader. This is no time for Jill Stein. You know, it is time to choose one or the other, one who's going to defend democracy and, you know, a stable world stage, and one who is chaos.
Speaking of chaos, coming up next, Pat Kreitler and I discuss Derek Van Orten. Stay with us on the other side. It's the Todd Lyle Show on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Todd Lyle Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. As per usual on Crossover Wednesday, our friend and colleague, host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 on Civic Media, Pat Kreitler joins us. Our friend Trigvi Olson from Lincoln Project will be along later in this hour.
Pat. I thought I'd been replaced already after a few minutes. That's Joseph Pecky's walk-up music every Thursday at 6:30 when we have him on. A little Stevie Great Ray Vaughan. And I thought, oh my gosh, that they've let me go. Here comes Pecky.
No, I just know that it's some Stevie Ray Vaughan that you use on your show. My bad. I did not realize it was specifically Joseph Pecky.
I will never object to any Stevie Ray Vaughan that gets played. Absolutely.
Look at that. Because Zommers, you were Mr. Kreitler's producer for a while in the morning.
Yeah, for a while in the morning I was.
So you know his music likes.
He knows to play. Yep, Crossfire is our theme song. Uh-huh. We enjoy and we'll always salute the late great.
No, nothing wrong with that at all. What is there something wrong with is a guy named Derek Van Orten, Republican congressman of the 3rd congressional district in western Wisconsin, where we'll get into this in a minute. But we're going to be up that way next week. Mr. Kreitler is going to join us on the show, at least on one of them in his neck of the woods. But
you had me at Water Street. That's it. I'm in.
We'll be there.
It is.
We'll be there.
Yep.
So Derek Van Orten took to Twitter, and if you haven't followed him lately or seen this lately, he's gone off the rails. I mean, he's really become kind of a Trump type of Twitter, just tweeting at all times of the day and night and just being pretty goofy. But yesterday, of course, what happened out in Baltimore with the tragic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge out there, President Biden immediate response. They had federal folks out there within a couple of hours. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg was on the ground. And President Biden gave what I thought was a fantastic address to the nation yesterday afternoon. We carried most of that right here on this program. So Derek Van Orten took that speech by President Biden, in which he pledged that the federal government would do everything they could to pay for this replacement, and said this, quote from Derek Van Orten, "It should be the president's intention to figure out who is at fault and see if they have insurance to cover the loss. That's what insurance is for. Biden has gotten so desperate for votes, he is now pandering to wealthy shipping companies and maritime insurance agencies. This is pathetic. He should expect Congress to tell him to shove off and sail into the sunset, because that's where he'll be going. We'll be welcoming Donald Trump back aboard to captain the ship." Now, I responded, Pat Kreitlow. I responded. You might remember this. Okay. I said, "Hey, Rep. Derek Van Orten, this from August 2007, from then President George W. Bush on the 35 West Bridge collapse in Minnesota that so many Wisconsinites rely on daily. This is what Bush said in 2007. Quote, one of our jobs is to work with the governor and the mayor and the senators and the members of Congress to cut through the paperwork and to see if we can get this bridge rebuilt in a way that not only expedites the flow of traffic, but in a way that can stand the test of time," unquote. And I went on from there. My point to Mr. Van Orten, I want your thoughts on this, Pat. There was a time when Republicans were kind of known for cutting through red tape and lawsuits just to get stuff done. And in times of tragedy, Americans and Wisconsinites, Democrats, Republicans alike, usually joined together for the best of their constituents. This guy is completely out of step, Pat.
This is the such a great example of the, you know, too soon. When people want to, you know, talk about political matters, you know, in the wake of a tragedy and need to be reminded, you know, the partisan politics can wait a little bit. How about you show a little compassion? Mm-hmm. How about you just sit down for a little bit, maybe say a little prayer for those, you know, whose lives were lost, unless you don't care about them because apparently they were all immigrants and maybe they're right, just right. Lesser people to you. But this is the time to come together and to say, you know, we will do what we can on this. And instead, he's treating it like the ship is, you know, a Subaru and the bridge is just one of those parking lot posts. And you bumped into it and, oh, we're going to get insurance information and maybe we'll have to go to court for that. This is a little bigger than that. This is one of the busiest harbors in the world. This is a key bridge for moving goods as well as people along, and time is of the essence. Of course, there will be time to recoup funds from, you know, the shipping company. This is not the moment for it. This is the how can I help? Not that I think I've ever heard those words come from Congressman Van Orden, but if he learns them, you know, he might find that he sleeps better at night and doesn't have to tweet, you know, 30 times a day.
What's interesting is his press office, right after this happened, did tweet out a sentence along the lines of sending thoughts and prayers. That's his press office. But he himself on his personal Twitter chooses to exactly do what you did, Pat, or said he did, which is just make this all about politics. And again, the fact when it affected Western Wisconsin, I mean, you know better than anybody else, that bridge that, I mean, it doesn't connect the states, but I mean, that bridge in Minneapolis that collapsed in 2007, countless people in Northwest Wisconsin go across that bridge every day for work and pleasure. And when it affected Wisconsin, then Republican President Bush came out here and said, look, we're going to work together and get this done. And they did. And now you have a situation where it affects another state, and Republican Congressman Van Orten wants, not only doesn't want anything to do with it, is criticizing Democratic President Joe Biden for doing the right thing and says he's going to tell him basically to shove it. Doesn't even want to help right. these people.
No, because that's all he can do. He can't for a moment say, what if this had happened in La Crosse? Exactly. Would I be saying, oh, yeah, we're not going to do anything until we drag these people into court because, you know, that'll get wrapped up in 30 days. No, it won't. This is going to be a years-long process, and there will be time for the lawyers. But if it happened in your district, you would be just so happy to find out that there was somebody in the White House who was willing to say, how can I help? Not you're on your own. But if there's one thing we've noticed over the past decade or so, it's the number of Republican members of Congress voting no on disaster declarations around the country until it happens to them. And then suddenly there they are, hat in hand, which, again, takes us just back to the Trump Bible that maybe more of these folks ought to be reading about, again, having some decent human compassion first and putting politics second.
Patrick, can you stay maybe another 5 or 10 minutes here? We're backed up like O'Hare here with questions for you. Can you afford us another 5 or 10 minutes?
I'm here for you, man.
Well, God love you. Well, let's start out here. Here's off the text line. Lynn from Oconomowoc says, Pat, did Jill Stein volunteer her services to Putin in 2015 as a spoiler? Did she get money from Putin or the 2016 recounts?
Oh, man.
a little angry there.
Well, yeah. Now, look, my frustration has always been with folks who want to go third party when we don't have one of those yet. Because the system isn't made for it. You'd need a third, fourth, and fifth party all at once. So we could have some kind of coalition government. That's not what we want it, but that's not what we got right now. The choice is A and B.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'll never forget, I had a coffee shop in 2016. I was out of politics, and it was in a very liberal part of Madison. And people came in and said, oh, you know, Hillary's going to win this thing in a landslide, but she needs to be sent a message because she's too mainstream. Remember, Jill Stein got about 23,000 votes in 2016 in Wisconsin. Donald Trump won Wisconsin by about 23,000 votes in 2016.
What's the message that you're sending? The message you're sending is, I want Trump to win.
Yes, exactly.
Whether you want it to be your message or not, that's what it says.
Totally agree. Gene in Eau Claire has a question for Pat, as does Jack in Merrimack. We'll get to all that, and our friend Trigvi Olson joins us. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd All Balls Show on the Civic Media Ready Network. The Pat Kraitlow Show with Todd Allball and Trigvi Olson on a Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. It's 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Look, I have no problem letting Kraitlow take over. He's lighting up the phone lines, lighting up the text lines. I mean, we had Flynn, Matt, not Mike. We had Matt Flynn in here yesterday doing the same thing. It's fantastic. Joining us for a little extended period due to popular demand, Pat Kraitlow, host of Up North News every morning from 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network, and joining us from a balmy St. Croix River with Hudson behind him. We can hear the waves. It is our very own Trigvi Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Thanks, Trigvi, for zooming in.
You are welcome.
So I want to get to this because Pat's just lighting up the phone lines. Let's get to this quickly here. We're talking before the break. A couple of things. Of course, Trump and Lee Greenwood, for real, this is for real, are hawking, are selling God Bless the USA Bibles for $60 a pop, along with inserted, I guess, along with the Ten Commandments that we didn't know Moses brought down, was the Declaration of Independence and the Pledge of Allegiance. Jack from Merrimack. Jack on the phone lines. Jack, you had a question for Pat or a comment on the Trump Bible?
Yeah, sort of a comment on the Trump Bible and on Trump. Here are some characteristics that I found online. Master politician, and no matter what you think about Trump, he has got to be that. Lawless. I think 91 felonies count. A deceiver. I think 30,000 to 40,000 lies in just 4 years count. Heretic. I think possibly comparing himself with Jesus counts. And a destroyer. I think anybody that was witnessed at saying, if we have nuclear weapons, why can't we use them? It qualifies there. Now, I'm not particularly religious. This is from a religious website, and, of course, they are listing the characteristics of the Antichrist. So for those of you that are evangelicals and are seriously thinking of voting for this guy, just remember what you're voting for.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it, Pat.
Well said. Well said. I mean, I made note this morning of those $400 golden sneakers, you know, golden, like the calf that they warn you about when it comes to worshiping false idols. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Jean from Eau Claire was all dialed up. Maybe she, her cell service dropped. But Jean, if you're listening, Pat has limited time here. I know she had a question. Trigby, we were talking right before the break here with Pat about this tweet from Derek Van Orten attacking President Biden for his speech yesterday offering help to the folks in Baltimore after that tragedy of the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsing. And Van Orten tweets out that he believes it's, quote, the president should figure out who is at fault and see if they have insurance to cover the loss. That's what insurance is for. And then calls Joe Biden's actions pathetic and says that as far as he's concerned, Congress should tell President Biden to, quote, shove off and sail into the sunset, because that's what he'll be doing. I came back and read, you know, part of my tweet saying in the quote from George W. Bush from 2007 when the 35W bridge collapsed in Minnesota that so many Wisconsinites rely on. And it was Bush in 2007, a Republican, who went to Minnesota and said, we're going to help you rebuild this thing and get it going again. I just don't get it.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about Van Orten, right? Like, I'm pretty sure if there is insurance, which there would have to be, the feds are going to go after the insurance. It's not like, but they need to get the bridge built. It's a disaster in a major American city. And that particular bridge, well, I try and not go to Baltimore that often. It is a central traffic vein that they're going to have to do something about replacing. I mean, this is just Derek Van Orten trying to get himself on Fox News and lay blame on something happening on Joe Biden. It's just classic, not serious Derek Van Orten. That's what it is.
Well, honestly, it's just too much TV. He thinks that Jake from State Farm is going to show up and make all of this right. It's not how it works, Congressman.
Or maybe Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
By the way, Aaron Rodgers lost the VP pool for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. yesterday.
Well, apparently he did. He was not, made of money like some other people appear to be. So,
yeah. Sergey Brin's ex-wife.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's where she got her money. She's married to Sergey Brin. Pretty sure.
I did not know that. Speaking of, we had Lynn from Oconomowoc talking about, we talked about earlier as well about this uninstructed. There's some very left folks that on the Democratic side urging people to vote uninstructed. Pat and I, in the Democratic primary on Tuesday here in Wisconsin, Pat and I both disagree with that. Lynn from Oconomowoc brought up the connection with Stein with other people. We didn't realize this was true. Trigvy, what do you know about this as someone who spent time in Eastern Europe?
Stein? Yeah. Jill Stein was at the same dinner Michael Flynn was at in 2015, seated next to Putin. Seated next to Putin. Yeah. For sure.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement.
Anybody who doesn't think, you know, there's all this talk about what, you know, the Russians tend to be kind of agnostic about this stuff, or maybe not agnostic. They're agnostic as to which party is causing division. So if they can use the far left or the far right to create division and try and help Donald Trump and people who are going to do what they need done, they're going to do that. And so
that's exactly right. Yeah.
Pat has to go here because, you know, he has a following. He has fans waiting for him. He has autographs he has to sign after the show. It's time to make a big announcement here that we are going We are going on the road, Trigvy, next week.
Next week. I'm coming out. We are going to be in Richland Center on Monday, lacrosse on the UW lacrosse campus Tuesday. Wednesday, we're going to see Pat and be at the UW Eau Claire campus. And we're going to have an event in the evening where people can, they will get details out, but can potentially have a cold beer with Pat and some cheese curds with you and I. And then we're going to Stevens Point and Oshkosh.
Yeah, a little trip around.
I love this. I love that you two are going on the road. It's Hope and Crosby all over again. And when you come to Eau Claire, and I'm going to be your Dorothy L'Amour when you get here.
Listen,
with all the fans you apparently have, we might need some roadies.
Right? We're calling it the Beer, Cheese, and Radio Tour with Todd and Trigvy. And in Eau Claire with Pat. So it's just a time for us to go out and just kind of hang out with people. And we're not going to make it super political. We're going to talk about the good things happening in the state of Wisconsin and what's on your mind. So, Pat, you're going to join us on the Eau Claire campus on Wednesday, right?
Absolutely. Can't wait.
All right. Looking forward to
it. And I bet there are people all over the place who went to Eau Claire in the 80s who are probably thinking if Pat and Trigvy are back, we should be showing up on Water Street, too.
100%. Join us on the campus, on campus at Eau Claire Wednesday, noon to 2. We'll do the show live. And then down on Water Street from 6 until 7:30. We'll have details when and where a little bit later on this week. But that's what's happening. Pat, we appreciate your time, extra time today, and appreciate you joining us next week.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Pat Kreitlow.
Thanks, Pat.
Of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 every morning across the Civic Media Radio Network. Trivia, I want to follow up on Derek Van Orten here a little bit because, again, what just struck me, and you've talked about this before, is in times of crisis, in times of tragedy, and, of course, you and I were younger people, don't really remember this or were very small when this happened, but 9/11, you know, I've told this before. People, this seems to be weird for some people, but it's true. Back me up or disagree with me. There was about a 3 to 4 month period after September 11th where George W. Bush probably could have gotten anything passed in Congress that he wanted, could have virtually done anything he wanted because the country came together and because Democrats joined Republicans on the steps of the United States Capitol and said, look, we're going to make this work and we're going to make this because this is America, and this was an attack on America. So traditionally, whether it's America or whether it's the state of Wisconsin, people usually come together. I think Trigvy is working on his headset there, so we'll see. 1 second here. But, I mean, that's just something that we've done traditionally in this country is work together as Americans. Can you hear us now, Trigvy? We'll see.
He's still getting his head.
All right, he's still getting it set. All right, very good. So what disturbs me about Van Orten is the fact that he puts himself, a lot like Donald Trump, puts himself first, his own interests first, instead of thinking about what's best for the entire country, best for the entire state. So we'll continue talking about that here as we move forward. Also, want to spend a little time again just reminding folks on this referenda. And there's a great piece in the recombobulation area called Good in Theory, Bad in Practice, Worse in Process. Why you should vote no on two statewide referendum questions to amend the Wisconsin Constitution. The upcoming election, this is from Dan Schaefer's recombobulation area. The upcoming spring election is not quite like others in recent years in Wisconsin. Unlike 1 year ago, there is no statewide race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. There is also not going to be a competitive presidential primary since Donald Trump has already locked up the Republican nomination. Dan Schaefer writes, here in Milwaukee, races for mayor and county executive are mere formalities, with Cavalier Johnson and David Crowley set to cruise to a second term. There are important races up and down the ballot in every county and municipality in the state that are tremendously important. But on every spring election ballot across Wisconsin, there are two statewide referendum questions being asked of voters that would amend the state constitution. Election Day is April 2nd, and early in-person absentee voting is already underway. So what exactly are these questions asking, and why are they on the ballot? Well, the first one regards the use of private funds in election administration. And then Dan Schaefer lists the entire text of these referendum, which, in my opinion, are both goofy and confusing. So the first one has to do with private funds in an election administration referendum, and the second one on election officials referendum. And Dan Schaefer continues on in the recombobulation area. In theory, a question on whether private funds, quote unquote, should be allowed in election administration should have a simple answer. Devoid of context, it might make the most sense to keep private dollars out of elections. But any look under the hood will show that this is not a genuine attempt to solve the problem. What this is, instead, is an effort to placate the election deniers within the Republican Party who have been whipped into a frenzy by conspiratorial claims that Zuckerberg that the Zuckerbucks impacting Wisconsin elections. Let's see, Trivi, can you hear us now?
I can. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's fine.
My headphones died in the middle of this.
No problem. What are your thoughts on these statewide referendums?
It's a classic case of putting out referendums to try and drive turnout to give you an issue that you can talk about that really doesn't exist, or that if it exists, it doesn't exist in the context of which you're trying to create something. And then you can go back and say, see, we had a referendum that was voted down or passed. It's classic inventing of a shiny object to distract people.
Yeah. So again, you could find all this information. Great article, as always, from Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area. That's the recombobulationarea.news. Dan Schaefer, as always, doing outstanding reporting there. Also, a friendly reminder, Trigby, for all of our Wisconsin listeners, that you can vote early now. I'm going to be voting early either today or tomorrow because you and I are going to be on the road next week and on election day. Right. So I'm going to be voting early. And a reminder to folks, if you have not registered, you could do so at the polls. Just bring along like utility bill with your name on it, preferably one that's older than 30 days old to prove that you've been in your residence for that long, at least for 60 days. And then a valid ID, like a Wisconsin driver's license or a valid state ID card as well. Also a military card as well will work in the state of Wisconsin. Make sure they're valid and take those along. Register at the polls and vote in these elections on Tuesday. Critically important.
Yeah, very important. It's an opportunity to go out. It sounds contrite or overstated, but it is an opportunity to go out and express where you stand.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to come back, Trivi. We're going to run down a little bit more what we're going to be doing, where we're going to be on this cheese, beer, and radio tour of Todd and Trigby. Next week, we'll have details. Don't go anywhere. It's Trigby Olson, Aaron Zomers. I'm Todd Allball on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 now before the hour of 1 o'clock. Our friend and our colleague, Mr. Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, like myself, left the party for his own reasons. He worked for guys in the back of the day, people like John McCain, did a lot of work over at Eastern Europe, took on Russia, or at least Russians and communism, is banned by Russia, by Putin himself, and is a owner of the Green Bay Packers, like so many Wisconsinites.
We're going to have new kickoff rules, Todd. Did you see that?
I saw that.
By the way,
Trigby is so kind to join us with his family on a little vacation. So he's using his remote equipment. We appreciate him being here nonetheless. But yes, what do you think about these new kickoff rules? I saw it on, it's going to be the same as this XFL or whatever they're using now. I saw it played out, and basically the guy, the receiver catches the ball, right? And then everybody else has to wait. The defense has to wait until they run after him, until he catches the ball.
Is it till he catches the ball or they can't run? They can't do a running start. They have to be lined up on the line and can't run until the kicker. So they don't get the running start,
I think,
part of it. And there's also, if they kick it in through the end zone, they get it at the 35?
Is that what they ultimately decided?
I don't know. I mean, I think there'll be an adjustment. I saw the Packers voted against it. But you think with Keyshawn Nixon, man, he's the bomb returning kicks. You'd have thought that they'd want that. But
yeah.
I don't know. I trust completely in Goody and LaFleur. You know that, Matt.
I think that this is partly to reduce the severe injuries that NFL players get, and I'm all for that. But it also kind of, it's going to take some adjustment, I think, from a fan standpoint.
Yes. But if it returns kickoffs, I mean, honestly, kickoffs were kind of becoming ridiculous, right?
Right, right.
Because these guys can kick it so far. We're not talking about, you know, some guy, Chester Markle here. These yeah. guys kick it out of the end zone every time. So I don't know. I think it's a good thing. I think, though, what's an even better thing is you and I out and about across the state of Wisconsin talking to people.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a blast, Todd.
And our friend, my former boss, Dale Schultz, texted in on the text line. He says, don't forget to mention you guys are going to be in Richland Center. So that's where it's all starting off. We're starting off on Monday, April 1st. A couple of April Fools for you on the road, Todd and Drigby.
That's right.
We're going to be starting off in Richland Center, and we're going to have a little, I don't want to call it a reception. That sounds too formal. Here's what's going to happen. At each of these communities, we're going to pick a place. So we're going to do the show live in the community, Trigby and I, and have various guests. And then in the evening or early evening, we'll call it, from 6 until 7:30, we're going to bring our credit cards and we're going to pick up the first round of beer or soda, whichever your preference. And the first round of beer and soda is on Todd and Trigby and Civic Media, quite frankly, and some cheese curds. And just come out to wherever we're doing this and talk with us. We're going to start out at the Phoenix Center, the bowling alley in Richland Center from 6 until 7:30 on Monday.
Yep. And then and you can ask us questions. You can tell us what you think, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You can talk Packers, politics. I don't know. Talk about anything.
I think it's a great, because I think a lot of times, you know, we're talking on this show and there are a lot of important big political things. But I think for Trigby and I, and you can speak for yourself, Trigby, it's just a chance to get out and say, you know, people seem to be more themselves over a beer and cheese curds. And so we want to do a lot of listening. You come and down and tell us what's on your mind. What are you thinking about? What would you like us to talk more about on the show every week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're hoping, you know, obviously it will create more awareness of what you're doing, Todd, which I'm a huge fan of, obviously, and what we do on Wednesdays and the opportunity that it's creating and the importance, quite frankly, that Civic is playing with creating local news focused on telling both sides.
Yeah. No, I think that's I appreciate that. Appreciate it. Certainly we appreciate what Lincoln Project does as well. I mean, you and I know former Governor Thompson's great late brother, Ed, who had the teepee out in Toma. I mean, talk about a place where community came together for weddings, for wakes, for just a fish fry. I think Ed Thompson, to me, epitomized what Wisconsin's all about. Just having a beverage, watching a game, and telling stories.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? This is the thing. I say it all the time. We're going to be in Oshkosh, Green Bay, and when people go to Lambeau Field, they're not wearing a red hat or a blue hat, man. They're bleeding green and gold. And that's what makes the state of Wisconsin great. And I think when we talk to guests, we're going to talk about things like the Wisconsin idea, public education, workforce development, conservation, and some of the things that, quite frankly, some of this dysfunction that's being foisted upon us is impacting in the greatest place, at least to me, and I think to the people who live there, the greatest place on the planet, the state of Wisconsin.
And also, Trevi,
what better way to do it than beer and curds, right? To have that conversation.
Exactly. And I also think, and you and I, because of our past in politics and government, we kind of know this, but maybe we've forgotten to talk about it enough, and I don't think enough Wisconsinites know, that for all the dysfunction in D.C. and Madison, there's all kinds of great success stories of people getting it done in local communities all across Wisconsin, like Mayor Wiesa in Stevens Point, who doesn't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. It's about getting stuff done at the local level.
100%. And we're going to have, you know, we're going to have leaders from the communities who are coming on to talk about what they're doing. And honestly, to quote Tommy Thompson, you got a bunch of people in the state who are sucking on lemons all day, snarling, telling everybody how bad it is. We're going to go out and we're going to beat people from Wisconsin, telling how good it is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Packers score, Harleys roar, Eagles soar, baby.
That's right. Wouldn't it be fair? I just an open invitation in all seriousness to the former governor. And by the way, we take any governor who wants to come out. But particular governor Thompson could just join us for a beer and a cheese curd, and we'll sit there and tell stories. or listen to him tell stories.
I've said this. I'll DM him. As soon as we get off, I'm going to DM and see if
I once heard Governor Thompson over a campfire and a beverage tell a story how his former Secretary of Tourism, Moose, went up and had joined the Moose Lodge. It's a fantastic story.
Yeah, for sure. They made Moose join the Moose.
That's right. That's right. All right, Trey, are you able to stick around for a little bit more, an hour or two, or you got to go?
Absolutely.
All right, Trey.
I am good to stick around.
Trey Meese is going to stick around a little bit longer. Take your phone calls as well. You can call in now or wait till after the break, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842 for any questions you have for Trigvy from the Lincoln Project, federal, state, whatever is on your mind. And also, well, Trigvy can help us out with some Ride into Spring trivia. How about that? We'll do a little trivia on the other side as well. I'll hear off the text line. We have time. Hi, Todd. Are you two coming to Madison? Well, we'll start in Madison, kind of. More details later. It's the Todd Allbull Show on Civic Media.